I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. All right, Alex, I'm speaking to you since you're going to be baptized today. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with rules and laws. I love when other people around me follow the law. I'm not so good at following rules myself, though. Right? I want everybody else to do what I think is good, right, and holy. But I want you all to turn a blind eye when I eat too much ice cream or four or five hot dogs or the extra hamburger that my daughter was hoping to eat. Right? I want all of you to turn a blind eye to all the things that I'm not good at. And yet, we know on some level that these laws and these rules in our life are both, on one hand, good for us. A life without ideals is kind of a wanderless, aimless life. You want ideals, right? Alex, would you like to be able to be the most holy person ever?
I would love that.
He would love it, right? He's got high ideals, right? He's going to be the holiest person ever. And he told me on Friday that it's only going to take him about 2 weeks, right? Okay, all right. Maybe a month or so, right? Okay. So I'd like to tell you that the problem of rules and laws just began a few years ago, but it's one of these age-old problems that we have. Everybody knows that in some ways, rules, laws, and ideals are good for us. A life without rules and laws and ideals in kind of some ways kind of cuts the legs out from underneath us. The problem is that even the holiest person ever by himself, Alex, will fall short of the ideals that we create for ourselves. There's just no way of getting around it. And in fact, the laws that God gave to Moses and Moses gave to the Israelites from Mount Sinai, we oftentimes abstract these laws or these commandments away from the narrative in which they're happening, right? Oh, guess what? These Ten Commandments just fell out of the sky. There they were. We don't know how they got there. We don't know when they got there. We don't know how they got there or anything. They're just kind of disembodied laws that just kind of fell out of the sky. But the reality is that the Ten Commandments that were given were not something that just fell out of the sky. The law was given to Moses and to the Israelites while they were in the wilderness. The law was given to them while they were sinning and creating an idol. The law was given to them as they were struggling to be faithful to God. In fact, what God says in the giving of the Ten Commandments is, I desire you to be in covenant with me. I desire you to be the best person, the best people that I have created you to be. And yet I know you will struggle to do this. Reality is, not only are we not as good as we think God created us to be, but we also know that we fall short of our own ideals for ourselves. In many ways, the law or the commandments, as they were given, weren't really laws in the way of you better do this or else. What they were was a pathway to re-engage with your whole being, the God who already loves us. Now, in our reading today from our gospel, which takes place in the Sermon on the Mount and follows right after last week's reading, which none of you were here for except Alex and Nina, who put on their hiking boots and came, right? The Beatitudes seem like they're laws, but they're not. They are invitations to participate in Jesus' life. Just as the law was an invitation to Israel to participate in the life of God as he had laid it out in the covenant with Abraham. So the good news, and I think this is really good, is this. That our reading today here about the law is really a reading about the invitation that Jesus gives to all of us to follow Jesus. And when Jesus says, look, I did not come to overthrow the law or the prophets, I came to fulfill them. What Jesus was saying there is this. The law is not just the Ten Commandments. The law isn't the 613 other codes and commandments in the Pentateuch. The law isn't just the giving of the law. The law isn't just what happened in the wilderness. The law is all of creation. The law is the fall. The law is redemption. The law is the story. And the prophets are all the voices that call us back to being in full communion with God. And that brings us to baptism here for you, Alex. I've got good news and bad news. Soon you will be reborn in the waters of baptism, and you will be invited to participate in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, by your own admission, you're not going to be perfect when you come out of the water. You're still going to struggle. Now, when we were in Bible study today, somebody said to us, Father Robert, if covenants are promises about what might happen in the future, why do we take promises at a wedding? Right. What are you and Nina going to do shortly?
Make a lot of promises.
Make a lot of promises, right, in front of everybody, right? And what we realize is the promises you're going to take at the waters of baptism and the promises you're going to take when you get married, guess what? They involve one very simple reality. You're taking these promises because what you're asking yourself and what God is asking of you and what everybody around you is asking is to in some ways be better than you could ever imagine yourself being. And guess what? We know you're going to fail at it.
I know too.
Right. And it's good news that you don't have to be perfect. It's good news that what has to be perfect is Jesus Christ, and that your participation in Jesus Christ over your whole lifetime brings you into the perfection of Jesus Christ. It's not about Alex being perfect. It's about Jesus being perfect. It's not about Drake being perfect. It's about Jesus being perfect. Right. And guess what, Nina? If he were perfect, you would hate him after about a week. Right? Right. And the good news is not that any one of the disciples or any of us here have to be perfect. The good news is that God is perfect for us. The good news is that Jesus is perfect for us. And the good news is that Jesus invited us to participate in him and his perfection. And not only invited us once, but continually over and over and over again. So if you didn't get the message the first time, know that you're invited again and again and again to participate in his perfection, which we call grace and love. The good news is that you have all your stuff together. Yes. Dick Calloway looks like $1 million back there, but I know better. He's only worth $25, really. The good news is it doesn't matter how much you think you're worth. It matters that God created you and thinks enough to have Jesus invite you to participate in his love and in his joy and in his forgiveness. That's the radical ask here at the waters of baptism. You don't have to have it all together.
Thank God.
God's got it covered with Jesus in the waters of baptism. Mm. And I hear them all gathering there at the waters of baptism. So I'm going to sit down and shortly we're going to get up here and we're going to baptize you. Amen.
Amen.
All right, bring it on in. Let's go.